Well, if you walked up to him while he was at his work and you interrupted him and said, "Did you ever think that your name would be known around the world? That millions of people would read what you wrote? There'd be churches who would claim that you were their founder, that you were the number one person. Did you ever believe that or think that that could happen?" He'd probably say, "Step back and get away from the nets. I've got to get the boat ready to catch more fish." The scriptures is really silent about Peter's, the Apostle Peter's early life. When we first see the scripture about Peter, he comes on the scene. He's already a married man. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He was a fisherman by trade. Matthew 4, verse 18, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon and called Peter, and the brother Andrew. They were casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. So Peter already, he had a profession. He had a boat. He was working hard at it. And they lived on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, called the city of Bethsaida. John chapter 1 and verse 44, it says, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. That's John 1 and verse 44, which was on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. Peter came to Christ, but it was not a spectacular conversion. You know, you have some people, they have a really Paul's conversion was pretty spectacular. He was struck down, he was blinded, and Christ said, "You know, who are you kicking against? You're kicking against the nails, and you're going to get your feet hurt." Let's take a look at Peter's conversion in the book of John, chapter 1. And let's pick it up in verse 35. Again, the next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked. And he said to these two disciples, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him, and they decided to follow Jesus. And Jesus turned and looked at them following. He beheld them following, and he said to them, "Well, what are you after? What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher. The English translations put a parenthesis, which means teacher. But John's gospel explains it, which means teacher, rabbi. Now, why is John saying that rabbi means teacher here? Because we believe that John's gospel was written for Gentile people. The rabbi is a Jewish term. It's not a term that is used in most of the world. It's a Jewish term, teacher. And John is explaining this to an audience that is obviously not going to be Jewish. So they said to him, "Rabbi," parentheses, which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" they asked him. He said to them, "Come and you will see. Come with me. I'll show you where I'm staying." They came therefore and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. Now, it looks like it was the 10th hour, it would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two of them who heard him, John, speak and who followed him was Andrew. Simon, this is verse 40, it's John 1, verse 40, Simon Peter's brother. I want to read verses 40 through 42 from the New American Standard Version. I'm going to now read verses 40 through 42 through the New International Version. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. Verse 41 is a very interesting verse, and a little bit, the manuscripts are a little bit different on this. You know, of all the thousands of Greek manuscripts there are about from the New Testament, of all the thousands of them, there are no two of them 100% exactly alike. That is, that every letter of the Greek matches every letter of the Greek in this other thing, and every word matches every word. No, not so. Listen to how the New International Version translates verse 41. The first thing Andrew did. Now, he'd been with Jesus. Remember, they spent considerable time with him. They stayed with him. I don't know if they spent the night with him. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. New American Standard Bible says he found first his own brother. The New King James Version and the New Revised Standard Version translate that verse, he first found his own brother. Another translation said, at once he found his own brother. The New Jerusalem Bible says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother. So a number of the manuscripts are various. They vary in this area. And that affects these translations. The options, of course, are the first thing Andrew did, or the first person Andrew found, or Andrew was the first to find him, and so on. The first to go and get his brother, the first to go and tell. All right? So it's obvious that one of the first things he did, Andrew, first things he did, what did he want? He went and found. He had to look for him, right? I know he's my brother, but they're grown men, right? Simon was a grown man. When we see him, he's already married. He already has a business. They already were fishermen. So he goes out and he finds Peter. I've got to go find him. Because I know Peter's going to be interested in that. Peter's going to, I want to show him. And verse 42, he found him and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him. Jesus looked at him. This is verse 42. And he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Parentheses, which is translated, you know, Cephas is an Aramaic term back in that time where the Jews often spoke in the Aramaic languages and the Jewish language. Cephas is an Aramaic term, and it meant Peter. Now, the King James Version says it meant stone, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So he goes, and the first thing he does, what does he do? He finds Peter. And he brings him to Jesus. And the first thing Jesus said, well, your name is Simon. I'm changing your name. You're going to be called Cephas, which is translated Petros or stone or Peter. Let me read that again in verse 42. Simon, the son of John. There's some confusion in the New Testament about Peter's father's name. Okay? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, one of the most famous places, Peter, who was called the son of Jonah. You remember? Simon, son of Jonah. Ionas in the Greek. But here he's called the son of John, Ionas. The name John is found in some of the very early manuscripts. And the name Jonah is found in some early manuscripts, along with a lot of other manuscripts. So it could be John or Jonah. And what you're doing, you're taking this name from the Aramaic or from the Hebrew. It's a Hebrew name. And you're transliterating that name into Greek, right? And so it's often confusing. For instance, They translate the word Simeon. You know, how many of you know about the tribe of Simeon, right, in the Bible, one of the 12 tribes? Well, you translate that word, Simeon, into the New Testament Greek, and it comes out Simon, S-I-M-O-N. What do you think his name was? He wasn't named just Simon, some silly Simon. I don't mean to make fun of it, but he wasn't a silly Simon like we have in the English. He was named after Simeon. And it was translated and moved into the New Testament. So here was Peter, and so there's a little confusion on the spelling. It's like Simeon and Simon, okay? Jonah and John. Okay, you're moving it over here too. But it was Andrew who got Peter to Jesus. Now Peter becomes famous. He's the chief apostle, so to speak. He's one of the great leaders of the New Testament church, right? You have to say that he was. You can't say he wasn't. He was. But he wouldn't even have been there if Andrew hadn't gone out and, number one, found him, and, number two, brought him. So the first prerequisite for telling anybody about the true Jesus Christ is that you have to have known Jesus yourself. How are you going to bring somebody to Christ if you're not with Christ? Andrew was able to bring Peter to Jesus because Andrew had first of all come to Christ himself. So to get other people as far as Peter, we have to get as far as Andrew, right? To get other people like Peter to be there, we have to be like Andrew. And you remember, you say, well, why didn't he do this or why didn't you do that? You know, we have to be more like Andrew. And every one of us has to tell our own experiences. You remember there was a story in the book of Luke, chapter 8. And the story begins about how these demons were cast out, and they went rushing down. And the guy who had these demons, you remember, he called Legion, and Jesus cast them out. And they got into the swine. The swine went down and charged into the water. You remember that? And in verse 35, and the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out just sitting down at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. The Bible talks a lot about being in your right mind. You could be in a wrong mind. You could be in a different mind. We have ways in which we are not in the right mind. We're in a wrong mind. So he was now right in the right mind, and they became frightened. Because they had seen this guy, he was crazy. Remember, he's standing there, he's screaming, you know, and people couldn't pass him. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to depart from them. Get out of here, would you leave us? You know, it scared them so bad. For they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging Jesus now that he might accompany him. Can I go with you? Can I be with you? But Jesus sent him away. Now he's been healed. All the demons came out of him. And he says to Jesus, can I follow you? Can I go with you? Can I be with you? Jesus sent him away saying, listen to what Jesus said to him though, which is something for us. Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. You can't get a Peter into the church unless you're an Andrew in the church, unless you have come to Christ. We can't have people coming here If you don't believe that God has done something for you, describe what great things God has done for you. It's what Jesus told this guy. Go and tell people what God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Notice, Jesus said, go proclaim what great things God has done for you. And he proclaimed what great things Jesus had done for him, because we know that Jesus was the incarnate of God. Now, two words. Peter, Andrew found Peter. You remember that? And brought Peter. Verse 41, that's John 1, verse 41. He found his own brother and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means, now again, here in verse 41, parentheses, which means the Christ. Once again, John is telling readers, which he expected to be mostly Gentile readers, to read his gospel, and he's explaining these Jewish terms. We have found the Messiah, parentheses, which means Christ, the anointed one, in the Greek. He brought him, verse 42, he talks to Peter, we found the Christ, the Messiah, and he brought Peter to Jesus, who looked upon him and said, Simon, the son of John, you shall be named Cephas, which is translated Peter. Okay, the use of the word brought, the Greek word here for brought, indicates that Andrew had to overcome some resistance on Peter's part. Whether Peter resisted a great deal or a little bit, we don't know. But that word, he actually, it means bring him. I mean, it means take him. It means sort of kind of pull on him. You're taking him. It shows, however, the resoluteness of Andrew in wanting Peter to come to meet Christ. To put it in today's language, he didn't just tell him, why don't you go over here? Hey, why don't you go to our church? Here's where we meet. Why don't you go? He brought him. If you're going to bring somebody to our church, you know, here's the address. See if you can get there. You say, come with me. Let me take you to our church. Let me bring you to our church. He brought him to Jesus. See, here's Jesus' address. See if you can find him. He may be around here. And no, he took him. It means he took him himself to make sure he got there, to make sure he saw Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 42, you have this is the King James rendering. He goes like this, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. That's not a good translation. It should be Peter. Peter. It should be Peter. Almost all the other translations, almost. There are a few that follow the King James in this and say, a stone. Let me ask you, would you walk up to him and say, you're a stone? Do we call you what your name might mean if you take your name in English, but do we call you what it might mean? My name is David, but people don't walk up and say, hi, beloved. How are you, beloved? How are you? That's the name David means beloved. That's what it means. You know, how about a name like Dorcas? You know, there are in the New Testament, there's a woman by the name of Dorcas, and I've known some women also whose parents named them Dorcas. You know what Dorcas means? Gazelle. Means a gazelle. You don't walk up to her and say, hi, gazelle, how are you? You know, maybe Giselle or Gazelle. I don't, but you know, you name them. His name was Peter, not Stone. You don't walk up and call him Stone. Same way with Dennis. Dennis is a name of a person from Dionysius, the god of wine. Denise is a derivative of the word Dennis. It means a person devoted to Bacchus, the god of wine. You're not going to go around and call that person high person devoted to the god of wine. You're not going to say that. You're going to call them Denise, right? So we don't call people what their name means. We call them by the name they were given. So you didn't call Peter Stone. You called him Peter. That was his name. So it should be translated Peter. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus exercises an authority that usually is left left to people who have an authority. You remember when the three lads from in Daniel's time, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were captured by the Babylonians. The Babylonian authorities changed their names to what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the servant of the god of Nego. God changed Abraham's name from Abram, you shall be called Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah, to different ones were changed. The names were changed. Many names were changed. And Jesus Christ exercised a power and an authority who changed Peter's name from Simon to a, that had to do with the meaning of a rock or a stone. But he didn't call him Stone. He's called him Peter. But the name, you're going to be a rock. You're going to be a something solid, not something wishy-washy. Now, Peter was headstrong. We know that. Peter was, you know, he was impulsive. He was headstrong. He was a person who argued with Jesus. You remember when, you know, when Jesus said, I've got to go in, the Son of Man has got to go in, and they're going to capture me and disrespect me and abuse me and kill me. And Peter took Jesus aside and he said, stop it, Lord. You know, this is not going to happen to you. Don't get it out of your mind. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now you're acting like this. Get out of my way. I've got to do this. And you remember the other time when Jesus is washing everybody's feet, he comes to Peter and Peter said, what do you do? What do you think you're going to do? And Jesus said, you don't know now, but you'll know afterward. I'm going to wash your feet. No, you're not going to wash my feet. No, you're not going to do it. And Jesus has to argue. He's arguing with him. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Oh, well, then how about my hands and my head? No, just your feet. You're already bathed in just your feet. He argued with Jesus. He rebuked Jesus. He was in the way of Jesus, you know. Peter needed to be instructed from the very beginning as to who was the boss here, who Jesus was, you know. He was also fearful at times. Even though he was impulsive and he could argue with Jesus, he didn't have the stamina. You remember when they were going into the courtyard of the high priest and everything, and John went in, and finally a woman stands there and she says, you have a Galilean accent. I bet you're one of his disciples. Are you one of his disciples? No, I don't know who you're talking about. She said, you know, you look familiar. Weren't you one of the guys following? I'm telling you, I don't know who he is. And then finally he swore and cursed, you know, in a sense. Now, he didn't. It was even worse than we thought. Remember, I gave you that sermon. But anyhow, he denied Jesus. He denied Christ. He was fearful. He had a lot of fear at times. Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. Let's take a look at how Peter was called. There are several places, but this is Luke's gospel gives us a much more definitive explanation. Let's start with Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1. While the people pressed upon him, this is Jesus, pressed upon him to hear the word of God. They were asking, tell us more about the scriptures. Tell us about what God says. He was standing by the Lake Gennesaret. You know, it could be the lake, it's several names. They're all meaning the same lake of Galilee and so on. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats. Now, he'd already met Simon, so Simon knew who he was. But this is his conversion. This is, I think, what you'd call a conversion. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked Simon to put out a little from the land. Here's Simon's boat. Jesus knew him. You know, just presumptuous getting into somebody's boat you don't know. So he knew him. He gets into the boat and he says, could you push this boat out a little away from the shore so I could talk to these people? I have a platform. The lake will carry my voice and these people are sitting up there. I want to teach them. And he sat down and taught the people. Now, Jesus' request was sort of when Simon was busy. What was Simon doing? He was washing out the nets. Okay, they had fished, and they was washing out the nets. What you have to take care of your equipment. You make sure everything, you got all the stones or any other things or stuff, clams or whatever. I don't know what's in the lake, debris that's in the bottom of the lake. He's washing out his nets. He's busy with his business, right? He's doing his work. And Jesus says, could you push this boat out a little bit, out into the water? Now, we know that Peter had to be exhausted. Why? Because verse 5 of this same chapter tells us that they had toiled all night. So he was tired already. They've been in the water all night long. And he must have been a little discouraged because they were fishing all night. And what did they catch? Zero fish. They went here, they went there, they dragged their nets here, they didn't get anything. They fished all night. They were fishing all night long and got nothing. Now, when you're a fisherman and you get nothing, it's not a happy day. It's not a great day. It's discouraging. It's dejecting. It's, you know, and you labor and they toil. It's not easy. These are not, you know, like we have all the motorized stuff. They didn't have motorized stuff. They didn't have, these kind of specialized motorized cranks that would pull in this stuff. They were fishing by hand. They worked all night. They came in. And now they're cleaning their nets. And Jesus says to Peter, hey, these people want to hear the word of God. How about pulling this boat out a little bit? Well, what did Peter do? What did Peter do? He did it, didn't he? He pulled it out. But even though he was busy, even though he was tired, even though he was discouraged, even though he had all this work to do, he obliged Jesus' request. I hesitate to name all the names, but I want you to look around sometime when you come to church, if you sit down. In our church, we have so many people. They have their own work. They have their own business. They have their own labor. They go to work every day. And they come in to church, and they take over certain functions. You see right here, the recording here, they're being recording. And we have guys who take up and learn and people backing each other up. And we have people on the back there taking care of the streaming. We have people up here on the stage doing the special music. We have people doing the worship leading. We have people doing all kinds of many tasks. And they're busy. And sometimes they come to church tired because they worked all day Friday. And then they had to go home and get a meal. And then they had to do this. And, you know, and we have people manning the, you know, taking care of the womaning the PowerPoint and all the other things. We have people doing all kinds of things. And the prayers and the song service and the special music and the other things that make this church go. And providing food like we did 2 weeks ago here for everyone. We have people that are working and doing work on top of it in order to serve the brethren, in order to advance the worship services and God's word. Peter owned a boat. It was his boat. It was used for his livelihood. But he was willing to let Jesus use it to preach the word to the crowds. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do it. He did it voluntarily. Just as many of you do things. At the feasts, we have people doing things. We have people serving here and there and various things, doing things. They don't have to do it. They do it voluntarily. So let's drop down now to verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And when he had ceased speaking... He's talking, he's doing a lecture to all these people up there. They're hearing the word of God. He's in Peter's boat. He didn't go very far off. You can't, you know, go way out of the lake. He wouldn't be able to hear him, but he just can you pull your boat away from the shore and get the water in front of me a little bit? And so he did. And when he had ceased speaking, now he quits. He's done speaking to the crowd. He said to Simon, put out into the deep. Let's go out further into the deep area. And let's take those nets that you're cleaning and let down your nets for a catch. Peter's tired. We're going to go out now. And you know, I'm working all night. I just finished cleaning the nets. If we go out there and there's nothing there, I'm going to have to re-clean the nets and straighten them out again for the morning. But you want to go out in the deep, okay? You want to go out. And Simon answered, Master, this is an interesting word that Luke uses. Luke uses the word master. The Greek word is epistates. Literally, it means one placed over something, the person who is placed over something. In other words, you're the boss, you're the owner, you're the master. Okay, you're placed over something. That's what that Greek word means. He's placed over, he's the person in charge, in other words. And Peter acknowledged Jesus, he calls him epistates, master. The term is also used in Luke 8. Interesting about the Gospel of Luke. You know, in various Gospels, the word is rabbi, called Jesus rabbi, teacher, rabbi, you know. And sometimes Lord, but most of the time it's you know, if you're referring to him in the human sense, you're the rabbi, you're the teacher. The Gospel of Luke never uses the word rabbi. You look it up in a concordance. Luke's gospel never uses the word rabbi. Why do you think that is? Because Luke's gospel was written for Gentiles to read. Matthew's gospel was written for the Jewish audience, because he's quoting lots of scriptures. Luke's gospel was written for a Gentile audience. And he doesn't use the word rabbi. And by the way, there are places where the exact same situation is used in both Matthew and or Mark, or the book of Mark, and the same thing situation where the words coming out of Jesus' mouth are almost the same, except that in Mark's gospel, he uses the word rabbi. Let me give you an example. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 33. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, epistates, it is good. You know, this is at the Transfiguration. Remember the Transfiguration? They're all there, and they see Jesus in white, and they see Moses and Elijah, you remember, with them. And in Luke 9, verse 33, as the men were leaving, Peter said to him, meaning Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But look at the same words, Mark 9, verse 5. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here." The exact same, almost exact same words, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But notice in Mark's gospel, it's "Rabbi," but in Luke's gospel, it's not "Rabbi," it's "Epistates." So here he is in verse 5. Jesus says, "Put out in the deep now. I'm done speaking. Let's take this thing and go out a little ways into the lake. And bring your nets for a catch." And Peter says, Simon, now in Luke's gospel, he says, Simon answered, "Master, Epistates, you're the boss. You're the boss. I know. We toiled all night, and we took nothing." Night would have been a good time to catch them. But it's daytime now. They maybe go deeper. They may go, we didn't get anything. But then he looked at Jesus' face, I'm sure. And Jesus probably stared at him. But, he says, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." You want it done? I'll let them down. And he's probably thinking to himself, we're going to have to clean the nets again. We've got to catch nothing. We'll have to be right back where we were. Luke chapter 5, verse 6. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. Now, King James says tore, but the Greek word means it's starting to tear. They didn't tear, but they were beginning to break. I got so many fish in these nets. So they signaled their partners in the other boat. You remember James and John, the sons of Zebedee and so on? Hey, get over here, help us. And they came with their boats, come and help. And they came and helped them. And they came and filled both boats with fish. So that the boats are so heavy now, the boats are nearly sinking. They're beginning to sink. The water is, so the boats looked like they were starting to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet. Now, I don't know why the New American Standard Version puts feet. No other translation that I know of puts feet. The word is not feet. The word is knees. The Greek word means knees. He fell down at Jesus' knees, not at his feet. And he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He was overwhelmed with the catch. He was overwhelmed to know that Jesus Christ is the master of the universe. That Jesus Christ's words affect even nature. He could bring the word. He knew where the fish would be. He knew. He brought the fish to him. That Jesus Christ was Lord of the universe. And in that recognition, Peter fell down at his knees. He couldn't fall at his feet because the boat was filled with what? Fish. And he recognized who Jesus was. Now, you can't take Peter's words literally. He didn't mean go away. He would have been devastated had Jesus just picked up and said, "Okay, I'll never see you again. So leave." He didn't mean that. It's an expression of his humility. "I'm not worthy of having you. I'm not worthy of being in your presence. I now know who you are, and I fall before you as my Lord and my Christ." We'll talk more about Peter, his conversion, his impact on all of us in a future sermons.